Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Mr. Newbie, and Lucy Freeman. Harriet Carmichael is sunning herself in Greece, the dirty slacker, where she's fiddling with Captain Corelli's mandolin and having a whale of a time. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
Well, there's nothing like a good week in Ambridge, and that was nothing like a good week in Ambridge. This week on the Archers was not the Archers, it was all creatures great and small. The sound effects people went bananas, there were dogs and horses everywhere, and Lillian started answering the phone saying, Darabee 385? We began the week with Justin and Lillian squabbling about buying an eventer called Double Bill or Overpriced or something. Just remind me, has someone made Justin and Lillian be together? Was it compulsory? Is there some sort of financial reward? Did they win a prize, maybe? Why are two people who clearly loathe each other and spend the entire time trying feverishly to wind each other up even together? Matt may have been a wide boy git, but Lillian did at least seem to quite like him. Lillian's main aim in doing this eventing malarkey was basically networking, she said. Oh yes, because when you're rubbing barbered shoulders with Princess Anne at badminton horse trials, the first thing she'll ask you is if you've got a two-bedroom bungalow to rent overlooking by Borchester Bypass. Justin wanted to do boating things instead. Yachting, don't be daft. It has to be something you can do in Ambridge. A, Ambridge is landlocked and no one can swim. And B, you couldn't fit a yacht on the pond. They could get a pedalo on the fishing lake. That's about all it's fit for now. They could put on matching life jackets and thrash the water to a foam. We crossed to the surgery where Jakob seems to have stopped being nice entirely and is suddenly being violently unpleasant to Denise, prompted by absolutely nothing. I suspect Denise doesn't have her eye on the job properly, truth be told, as she's also a midwife and she's running a detox centre in Wales. But that is still no excuse. I mean, Jakob was a bit brusque and a bit tactless before, but never outright rude. So what's happened? There was then a lot of boring old cock about horses' legs pointing in the wrong direction or something. It was all a bit medical and technical, so I'll explain it for you. Stop me if I get too advanced. The horse had got a bad leg and kept going oof every time it got up off the sofa and could only wear its comfy shoes, not its high ones. No one noticed the horse going oof except the owner. So the owner gave it a Nurofen and then said to Justin, you should definitely buy this horse. It has got really good running legs. Look at its legs running away there. And the horse said, I'm only running because I've had that Nurofen and I can't have another till 11:30, can I? Jakob said, it is not allowed to give a horse Nurofen and I am telling the police. And Justin said, okie dokie, well, I don't even want to buy a boat now. So what do I do with the hundreds of thousands of pounds I appear to have kicking about? Keep quiet about it and stop showing off, is my advice. In another deeply strangely bit, we went all the way to the Isle of Wight so that Frances Barber and what this splendid and revered actress thought she was doing, I do not know, could call Lillian a walrus. But I wasn't paying much attention as I was too busy wondering when we were going to get off the Isle of Wight and return to Ambridge to actually get on with some plot. But we didn't. We did return, but bugger all happened. What else can I tell you? Noodles are half price in the shop. Barry Simmons' rat's got mites. Cecil Jackson's after Audrey. Tracy's fixed the printer and tarantulas are bad for dogs. Tarantulas are bad for dogs? I have to admit to being baffled by that. Is that if the dog eats the tarantula or the tarantula eats the dog? Does the dog choke down some enormous bitey hairy spider the size of a Jack Russell and then wonder why it's got a bit of a dicky tummy? Meanwhile, Back at Skeldale House in Darraby, a West Highland Terrier called Moose had smashed a mug, which upset Alistair, and Tracy was keen for Jazza to clean her curtains. We then had a brief interlude in which we abandoned all creatures great and small and turned immediately into Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, in which Tracy dived under chairs chasing escaped mammals, and Alistair shot round the surgery on roller skates in a beret shouting, "Ooh, Shula." And the pinnacle of a week of such supreme dodginess it made Crossroads look like Tolstoy, we ended up trying to care about a dog we don't know, formerly owned by a woman we've never met, being given away to another woman we don't know, while in the background, Jakob seemed to be giving his best impression of Mr. Spock. I have never been more relieved to hear the theme tune. I just don't know what to say about this week. I've been listening for 342 years, as you know, and I have never heard a week like it. If this is going to be the standard, could they bring back the monologues, possibly? Or the Potter's Wheel? As any fool know, we only leave Ambridge in extreme emergencies. When we are dropping someone off somewhere awful like rehab or Birmingham, we do not just go there on a jaunt to meet overly theatrical yacht brokers who chew the scenery. As Justin put it, what happens in cows stays in cows, which is a good motto for sailors and vets. The end.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't just me. I thought it was an odd week.
Odd? That's a bloody understatement. But it was the whole of Twitter and the listening public. Everyone was just going, what is this?
My frame of reference is obviously considerably narrower than yours, but I was thinking, I don't know what is happening pretty much the entire week.
Who is this? What is? Who is?
This is the other thing, is that they're going end of lockdown bonkers and have started introducing 7 new characters every week. And
yes,
I never know whether they're old characters or new characters. And actually, this week I had no idea what any of them was doing there, to be honest with you. But I'm very glad that I became a newbie last year and not now, because if I'd turned up now, I'd be reassessing my life decisions fairly urgently.
In the towel, I think. About 3 minutes in, I should think. I mean, they're trying to get us. I just don't understand. They were trying to get us to care, to emotionally invest in a receptionist who we've heard sort of in passing, ring Denise at the surgery.
Okay, so she's not brand new. She's been referenced at least.
Yeah, but in a passing sort of like, in the same way that the waitress at Gay Grables has been referenced. We're not suddenly trying to adopt bloody dogs for her. This is just, you know, and then we're hearing all about her children and when they're going to university and everything. And I don't care. I want to know what's happening to Alice, and I want to know what's happening to Neil and Susan.
Well, I mean, well, exactly. I mean, the whole Neil and, I mean, this is not the first time that we've had a week in the last few months where they've put sort of bubbling storylines completely on hold and nothing has been heard of them at all for an entire week. But it does seem that the storylines this week were all started and wrapped up within the week. And it makes me think that's basically a throwaway. They've written that whenever.
Yeah. Everyone got COVID. But also, I mean, I was thinking, well, it's summer, you know, everyone goes away and all. And I was thinking, no, this is recorded 3 months ago. This is recorded in, you know, June.
Yeah.
Ish. So what the hell?
I think they wrote it and then felt like they'd got to use it. They wrote it just in case and then didn't want to waste it.
Right.
I don't know.
It's like when you make something dodgy out of all the leftovers.
Yes, right.
From a dinner party whatever, and you put it all together and you make, well, it's sort of a pie, and I'll put mash on the top from what we had left, and I'll put that sauce on it because that's a shame to waste. That was nice.
And I've got a handful of hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
There, so they're going on.
None of it makes sense. Oh, and I can use up that other weird thing in the freezer that's been sat there for ages. And then you put it, you make whatever it is and look at it a bit doubtfully and then put it in the freezer and think, I will use that one day. And then the joy when you finally get to use it. But it is as revolting as you always suspected it would be.
But you're jolly well going to eat it.
Because you made it and you were prepared and you didn't waste anything.
Exactly. I mean, one of my questions was, is this something they do sometimes? But it sounds like it's not. So I can understand
not to this extent.
if they'd got big storylines, and we it feels like we're getting towards the end of Alice, so that might even be done now because she's back in rehab and she'll just turn up in 6 months' time like nothing's happened. But
I think she's turning up quite soon, actually.
Oh God, really?
Mm. Oh, no. I had a sneaky peeky. Sorry.
I'm so that means next week then.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't think after this week, I'm not sure I'm ready for Alice next week. Ordinarily, I'd be like, okay, good, fantastic. We're getting back to proper storylines. But Alice, oh, God. But I feel like, so there are these cycles where they have a big storyline and then it sort of fizzles out or comes to an end, however they do it. And then, because we did have one of these weeks before, a little bit like this, and it was when I thought Alice was finished first time. And then they have a sort of, they take a breather for a week.
Yeah, bit of a back pedal, just freewheel for a week.
And then, exactly. Yeah. And there was one week a couple of months ago where actually it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of fun stuff going on. I can't remember what it was now. But I feel like we're revving up for something. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm. This is the calm before the storm.
There's going to be a nuclear accident or a
hurricane. We've already had an explosion.
Yeah, okay, but that was a relatively small explosion, wasn't it?
It's a village. How big an explosion do you want? Well, Honestly,
at the moment, I wouldn't mind too much if the entire place got levelled. Just smouldering ruins of Ambridge. And we can all go back to living our lives without having to listen to any of this again, ever.
My friend's mum lives in a village. This is the most exciting thing that's happened there this summer. My friend's mum lived in a village and someone donated a vibrator to the White Elephant stall.
Did they know what it was?
And the lady marked it up. She sold it for £1.50 and she put on it, whisk in brackets, slow.
Does it not have a fast setting then? Surely these... I mean, I don't know anything about any of this sort of thing.
It's a vibrator, not a pneumatic drill. You're not trying to get through asphalt.
No, I mean, vibrating does rather suggest, you know, a reasonably high tempo. Exactly.
Well, maybe otherwise, she was expecting... It didn't have any a balloon bit on the end of it or something.
Otherwise, it's just moving, isn't it? It needs to be... If it's
throbbing. Throbbing whisk. That's what she put. You want your eggs throbbed. That's the very way to do it.
Do we know if anybody bought it?
Probably the poor woman, embarrassed woman that donated it in the first place by accident.
Hurry
and buy it and take it away.
My dad was a soldier, and we for a few years we lived in Harrogate at the apprentices colleges there, which is where all the young soldiers, and when I mean young, I mean school leavers. They and sometimes even earlier than that, they used to have, you know, fetes. Mm. And they were announcing one summer, they were announcing over the tannoy that they'd got brown paper bags that they were selling for, 50 pence a pop or something, or a pound a pop. And I pestered Dad to get me one of these brown paper bags, because all these squaddies were all rushing to the brown paper bag stall. And I pestered Dad to... Well, no, but that's the thing. It was what was in the brown paper bags. It was never explained to me explicitly.
Was it ladies with no clothes on?
It was ladies with no clothes on, I think. They were selling porn, yeah.
When did you grow up? 1937?
No, this was... Let me think about this. This was mid-80s.
No!
Stuck
together copies of Fiesta.
I have no idea as to the condition of the the condition.
Perused and abused.
I don't think it was sort of it was a reclaimed hedgerow grumble. I would hope that it was at least new, but as I wasn't allowed one of these brown paper bags, I never got.
How
to find
did your
out.
Dad say? No, you can't have it. It's full of ladies with.
I can't even. I think he just
said it's for grown ups or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and his go-to line when with anything like that was, "I'll tell you when you're older."
Okay.
And that was then a clear sign that I needed to stop asking questions.
Yes. And immediately use your own tactics to find out exactly what it was. Get hold of it.
No, I've never, no, I wouldn't do anything like that.
Very compliant. Yes.
I was, absolutely. I was and remain a very good boy, indeed.
Unlike Justin, who I think had a bit of a crush on old Thingamabob.
Oh, God. No, it was disgusting. Drooling all over her. It was revolting.
What was she doing?
I mean, it took me a couple of days to figure out that it was Frances Barber because I never look at the cast list or anything. And I was thinking, I recognise that voice. Mm. I'm sure I've heard that voice before.
One decibel of that laugh and you think, oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. There's nobody else who sounds like they smoke 120 fags a day.
An hour, yes.
Yeah. I think she must just have a...
And she gets that enormous range in her... I'd love to hear how they're doing her. That kind of, she starts off so high and then it goes, incredible.
No, the whole thing was utterly revolting. You were quite right about her chewing the scenery. And I suppose if you know you're going to be in it for a week and that's your lot, then by God, you better get your money's worth. You know? But it did seem. I think this is another thing that they do, though, isn't it? That they'll get somebody really well known in just for a very short period.
Because
obviously Frances Barber isn't going to. Have a regular role. Somebody like Frances Barber isn't going to have a regular role in The Archers.
No.
But it did seem like a bit of a waste of...
It really did.
A very, very fine actor.
And why did the storyline have to involve them leaving the village entirely to go to the Isle of Sodding White? We don't know anything about Lillian's history in Guernsey and we don't care because that will happen without us.
Okay, so she that wasn't part of the... She wasn't in the show before. She didn't leave to go to Guernsey then?
I think she did, yes, because she grew up in Ambridge. So she was there, and then she married Ralph Bellamy and left, and then I don't know. And then she, when he died or left her, then she moved to Guernsey and was sort of the merry...
And
the
met
merry,
John.
The merry divorcee there.
Yeah.
Clearly very merry by the sound of it. But, you know... Just make a self-contained storyline that involves Ambridge. Why?
Well, you do know that they don't actually have to. They don't actually have to go to the Pile of Shite. Sorry, I shouldn't say. Apologies, Leslie Wood. I have
That's
explained this before.
Gone. Bye, Leslie. See you later.
No, I should explain that I've only ever been to the Pile of Shite in the winter months, and whenever I have set foot on the island, it has humped it down for the entire duration of my stay.
Okay.
So it's been cold and wet.
Well, I think
and,
that's probably your problem, not
and,
the Isle of Wight's
well,
problem.
Well, possibly. And also, in the winter, there is nothing and nobody there. It's just the whole place is shut, basically. Okay. So my experiences of the lovely Isle of Wight are perhaps not entirely representative, and I shouldn't be unkind about it. But yeah, you understand that they don't actually have to go to the Isle of Wight, right? They can.
But I get anxious when we leave Ambridge. I don't even like it when we go to Borchester, to be honest. If they're clubbing in Felpersham, I'm very worried, and I want them back. I think, oh, thank God for that. When they're in the cab on the way home, you know, slagging each other off, I'm always happier then.
The whole. It was a very strange storyline from the beginning because what is this money?
They sold a farmhouse on some land somewhere.
No, there was a lot of exposition, by the way, in the early part of the week to set all of this up. That barn near the rewilding that we sold Justin, you remember that.
The rewilders were going to turn it into an information centre or something, and then they filled it with bats or something. I don't know what they did with it.
Turned it into a big plumps clo.
Yes.
Justin's a businessman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does Lillian do?
Generally? Good question. Lillian is a legend. When she remembers, or when the scriptwriters need to hurry something along a bit, they try and remember that Lillian is actually a high-flying businesswoman of her all in her own right. She isn't. She runs a property agency called Amside.
Okay, that was one of the companies that they were going to get put on the side of the yacht.
She never is there. Even before lockdown, she was never there. Right. She had a secretary for a bit who bossed her about, and that was an interesting and quite funny, and she was a good character, and then that all just went dead again. And She never remembers that she's got arms, apart from when Peggy Woolley wants her to drive her somewhere. She says, "I can't, Mum. I'm completely up to my ears in Amside." And you think, "Oh, really? That's the first time you've mentioned it." It's Christmas 1999, but anyway.
She doesn't even work in the shop or the cheese factory, and everybody, as far as I can work out, works in the shop or the cheese factory, one of the two.
It's not a factory, it's a dairy.
But are they not retirement age anyway, Justin and Lillian?
Yes.
Lillian.
Yes, they are.
Right. So they've got, I mean, I hate to even suggest it, but, you know, they've got this enormous sum of money, which they're...
I know I'm old-fashioned and I know I'm... massive snob. I just thought it was hugely tasteless.
It was hugely tasteless.
What shall we do with this big, you know, loads of people haven't made it through bloody lockdown with...
We give it away?
Yeah. Let's just whazz it up the wall on something eccentric. Ha, 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 ha. Why don't you give it to a bloody food bank? And we'll be, I don't know.
But we're literally talking about, I mean, Lillian mentioned...
Hundreds of thousands of pounds,
right?
Yeah.
That they want to spend. And, is there money in eventing? I'll bet there's not.
No.
It's got to be one of those things that you've got to have enough money to do it.
Yes.
And if you have...
Well, it is exactly like yachting. It's completely pointless, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, right. And yachting, I mean, that's... If you're serious about racing yachts, that's... very, very big money.
Yeah.
That's millions, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't they just retire, for goodness sake, and put the money into...
Well, because they wanted, a couple of months ago, they were having this chat, weren't they, and they said they wanted to do something together, a joint venture together, because they weren't spending any time together and they wanted to do a businessy thing together.
Right, and now you get back to your point from the monologue, which is... why?
Yes, when they can't even share a car journey from Southampton without wanting to stamp on each other's heads.
They hate each other. Yeah. They drive each other up the bloody wall, and there's never any sort of there's never any tender moments, or they never enjoy each other's company at all.
Genuine affection, is it? It's all this mock teasing, and it's all about getting one up on each other the whole time.
Yeah,
you know, because when Justin's going, "I just want to make you happy," blah blah blah. By getting a yacht. And he knew that it was going to make her happy. He did it because he wanted it. You know, it's just... there's no sense of any actual fondness or kindness or love or affection there at all.
None. No. But it does sound like Lillian had quite a lot of fun when she was doing the yachting in Guernsey, though. It sounds like she was a bit of a wild child.
Yeah, well, she was. But... she's always been a party girl. She's always the last one to leave a party.
Because I haven't seen this at all. I get this. Yeah, you know, I've had, you know, 9 months of her and Justin niggling each other.
Yeah.
And that's been about it.
No, I mean, when Justin and Lillian first started their relationship, Justin was married and she had to leave his house via the French windows in the snow wearing a fur coat and nothing else.
Oof.
So... you know,
I mean, I'd expect that from Tracy because
she
did more or less exactly the same thing when she left Jazz.
To be honest, I'd imagine Tracy just wears a fur coat and nothing else at all the times.
But I wouldn't have thought that of Lillian.
No, you see, you've missed. It's interesting, actually, from this perspective. I hadn't thought of it like this, but because you came in it during COVID, you haven't seen any of them having any fun. You haven't seen any parties or big nights at the Bull or anything like that.
No, and yet. Here I still am.
I know. You need to...
But there was, I mean, there was really quite... there was... it was like... there was all sorts of... I don't mind who you learned your sailing skills with. It's how we use them together, you know. And you used to have a fine old time at sea. And something about taking instruction from your very capable hands. And,
Whoa.
It was all... it was... I'm sat there cringing myself inside out and thinking, oh, no, this doesn't fit at all. But then...
Yes.
But it does, actually.
It does, yeah. It does.
But that doesn't mean I want it to.
No.
I'd rather it didn't, all things considered.
You're right, though. I hadn't thought about it. They were all completely self-contained storylines, weren't they? Well, that one was.
Totally. They all started and finished this week. They're all done. We won't hear anything about any of that ever again, and thank the Lord.
Because Twitter did immediately say, Tracy's going to be the new receptionist at the vets. And then that was very quickly made.
Yep, no, that's gone.
That's gone.
The dog's all sorted out. The yacht's sorted out. The horse is sorted out. What else was there this week?
That was it.
About it, actually. But good Lord. Talk about slim pickings.
I know.
So we'd got, yeah, that was it. Jazz and Tracy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but so Jazz and Tracy.
Mm.
This is going one of two ways, isn't it? Because Trace, we're starting down the route of domesticity.
Yes.
And that's either going to be wedding bells or yet another breakup.
Yeah.
Which do we think?
I think it's wedding bells, actually, because...
Oh, you're all romantic.
Jazzo, well, I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying with the, as Jeeves says, the grim inevitability of Greek tragedy, that's where we're going to end up. I think Jazzo wasn't averse to having his curtains cleaned by Tracy. He was...
I think we all enjoy having our curtains cleaned now and again, Lucy. It does you good.
It was just that he wanted to loll about in the sun and have a nice time. He didn't want to piss around with lots of
cushions,
velvet throws and things.
He was looking forward to. I think he was looking forward to having her around and being able to have lunch together. He even said, I think, you know, it'll be nice to have lunch. Always while they were eating lunch, he said, "This is nice to be able to sit and have lunch."
No, she said that.
Oh, did she? Mm. Oh, bloody hell! All right, there goes my theory.
I don't think he's averse to a bit of domesticity, and he's been saying, like he said to Ed, "I think I'm ready to settle down now," and I'm, you know, didn't he?
He did. So, but on the other hand, he is having a good old moan to Alistair about throws and
it wasn't really a good old moan. It was just a bit of a whinge, really. It wasn't kind of proper serious.
I don't know. Okay, it seems a bit early in the relationship. I mean, you know, we all get to that stage eventually in relationships where things start to niggle a bit. But
do we? Okay.
I expect, but I don't know. It seems a bit early for that sort of for him to be finding things unpleasant.
But well, she did, because she found the bloody motorbike unpleasant. Unsurprisingly. Yeah,
well, that's fine. No, I mean, no, it doesn't mean you have to like everything, and you can say, no, I don't want to do that again. But
that hurt. I don't want to do that again.
Please don't do that again. But just sort of more general.
Only on your birthday. But,
more general structural stuff, you know, the sort of the nuts and bolts of the relationship.
Yeah.
Those tend to be, oh, look, you know, she's got some cushions and a throw. At least to begin with. Exactly.
But there was a bit about the dog. They both got quite soppy about the dog. And the first thing people in serious relationships do, completely unwisely and stupidly, is go and adopt a sodding animal. So I was thinking, oh, Christ, don't tell me they're going to end up with the dog. So I was glad that they didn't.
Well, I'd rather they ended up with the dog than Alistair, who has to be... I mean,
he's like that vet on them.
I forgot he was a vet. I completely forgot he was a...
What's he doing?
Exactly. I mean, you couldn't... It's exactly that. He clearly hates animals. Yeah. How did he ever end up as a vet? And you'd expect, I mean, I'm not an enormous believer in you know, dogs having a sixth sense about you know, good people, bad people, blah, blah, blah. But you would expect
people
a vet.
People with treats, people without treats. That's what
well, right, exactly.
The world into,
can I smell food somewhere on this person's
body? Yes.
Do
they look like a soft touch? Also good.
Yes, right.
Then they'll go get me some. Yeah.
But you'd expect you know, a vet to be able to pick up a dog out of a basket without getting bitten. Or at least not being massively surprised about it when he did. What the hell? That made no sense at all.
No. That was another totally random one. Another random bit that was just like, what is the point of this, please? Oh, there is one. Okay, good. Thank you.
Jakob.
Yeah.
He...
Mr. Spock.
You talked about this in the monologue as well. So I've only ever heard Jakob speaking to Kate.
Right.
He's the only person he has talked to.
He told Lillian her horse was fat. She kept saying, "Well, I know, you know, he could do with a little bit." He said, "No, he's fat." I quite like him because he's the only one that doesn't pussyfoot around. He actually just...
Well, no, right. I mean, and I've said this in the past, that he's fantastic with Kate because
yes.
he doesn't stand for any nonsense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not... But the thing is, he's not nasty. He's not unkind. He's not unpleasant.
No.
Until this week.
Unless you happen to be his receptionist, yes.
And they were trying to make out that he'd got a lot on, there was a lot of pressure and so on and so forth. He'd got one horse to look at.
Yeah, but it was a... If he'd got that wrong and they'd bought it, then they were open to a
absolutely.
Lawsuit, which could finish them.
This was what made me laugh about Lillian bringing that hamper down.
Mm.
And Jakob said it himself, it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
She thought that he was, you know, being extra careful and you know, looking after her interests.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was arse covering. 100% arse covering.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ, if I screw this up, we're finished, basically.
Yeah.
So he had to do that completely thoroughly. But, I mean, I don't know. It didn't sound to me like there was a great deal of work involved in examining one horse. He did some ultrasounds and some blood tests and, you know, gave it a sugar lump, and that was...
Well, the person we need to ask about this is our resident vet, Jen, who does work on horses and will know exactly what is involved, so we can ask her.
Okay. Well, so, perhaps she'd like to let us know whether that's about 10 days' work that Jakob was trying to pack into two, as far as I could tell.
I think they are quite clumsily, in my view, and I'm sorry... trying to introduce an element of neurodiversity into the village by suggesting that Jakob may have an element of neurodiversity somewhere. So he does hyperfocus really, really well. He is concentrating totally and solely on that. So any distraction is incredibly annoying and he snaps. They really egged it up. So the way he was talking in a very bizarre way, when he goes, Kate has also pointed out that sometimes my responses are not appropriate for the da 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 da. And I thought, why is he suddenly talking like a bloody textbook? That was weird.
He called Tracy foolish.
Yeah.
Foolish, for goodness sake. Yeah. He'd have been eating that sodding report if he'd called. I mean, who calls anybody foolish?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard, I mean, a child.
Yeah.
30 years ago, possibly,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, that's just not a word that gets used at all anymore.
No.
Certainly not by one adult to another.
Mm.
So maybe you're right. Maybe they are.
I think
trying to signal something here.
I don't know whether it's definitely there's something going on. Otherwise, they wouldn't have egged it to that extent. So.
It's all really heavy-handed, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely they're pasting it on.
It was a bit like watching a going back to the 80s again, recurring theme this week. It was a bit like watching an 80s American sitcom, but without the laughs. You know, it all got packaged up, and there was a nice little moral at the end of, you know, Jakob, you shouldn't be rude to people, and you should listen to people.
There's always time to be nice.
Exactly, the whole thing was just an enormous emotional, not emotional, but a huge sledgehammer I don't know, the whole thing turned me off completely.
Yeah.
And who the hell calls a dog Moose, by the way?
Well, I can tell you, the dog in Frasier, Eddie, his real name was Moose. But that was Moose. I've no idea why this dog was apparently called Mousse.
Oh, right.
It's ridiculous.
Moose, Mousse, I could understand.
Yeah. But we only know that it wasn't that because he said, as in strawberry moose or something.
But
he doesn't know that, does he? Because it could be spelt Mousse. Depends how the dog spelled it, and I bet nobody asked him. Her. Oh, actually, talking of our resident vet, she has emailed us.
Oh, right.
Well, she's emailed you.
Has she?
She wants
since the start of the program.
Yeah, very, very quick.
That's very clever.
She wants to know if you'd like some chocolate. No, she said, "Dear Uncle Newbie."
Yes.
She's emailing on behalf of Ben at Brookfield Farm.
Oh, this is an Uncle Newbie.
Until recently, I always identified as the strong but silent type. My parents really believed I should be seen but not heard. It's traditional around Ambridge. Ha. Then I got chatting to Rory about his joystick. Now I can even have firm, passive-aggressive conversations about toast with alcoholic second cousins once removed. The problem is my girlfriend Evie hasn't come on this journey with me. She is still a silent. All the hot women around here are. Like Sabrina and Lavinia. Then at a wedding in our barn, a girl spoke to me, literally spoke. It was amazing, and now I can't stop thinking about her. What should I do? Confused, the cupboard under the stairs, Brookfield Farm.
Right, yeah. Well, first of all, who's Lavinia?
Lavinia Rafferty has a schnauzer. That sounds like a code for something,
oh,
doesn't
dear.
It? When Shula announced that she wanted to leave Alistair...
Yes.
Lavinia Rafferty had, I think she lives in Darrington, had been hitting on, she'd been hitting on everybody. She's a silent.
Okay.
And then in a fit of pique, Alistair went off and rogered her.
Ooh, okay.
He went to go and treat her schnauzer and things developed from there.
As they so often
do.
He
was rubbing ointment into her schnauzer and then it all took off.
It was inevitable. Really.
It was, yeah.
The minute he laid hands on her schnauzer,
it was always
going to happen. Okay, so Ben and Evie. I think I said something about this last week, but I, in an absolute shocker, which I can hardly believe, two people in the Archers who are together have absolutely nothing in common, don't enjoy the same things, make each other thoroughly miserable and should separate as soon as possible.
Right.
Because the only... So obviously I haven't heard Evie, nobody has. But the only things we hear about her are... And, okay, you're only getting Ben's side of the story, I suppose, but they're always disapproving. So the whole sex caravan...
Oh, yeah, she wasn't too keen on that, was she?
No, she wasn't keen at all.
But who in her right mind would be?
Well, no, all right, fair enough. But nonetheless, if Ben were with somebody who was right for him, then, she'd have at least... I don't know. She was very down on the whole thing, and it feels like she's down on him generally. That's just the impression that I've got. You don't have much to go on, do you? But it's just the impression I've got over the last... 9 months or whatever it is, and I think the fact that she never spoke was probably, I mean, presumably she did speak to him at some point, but, rather than just pointing at things and clicking her fingers. But the fact that she never spoke meant that they were never meant to be, Lucy, I suspect.
Right. Okay.
And I think that Ben will be much, much, much better off with the Mince Princess.
The Mincess.
The Mincess, exactly. Yeah, she seems quite nice.
She does. She does, and she's definitely going to be around because she's announced her tenureship on Twitter, which is always a sign that they're.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but when Ben is probably going off to nursing school soon? Do we know where that is?
I thought he was doing a nursing degree at Borchester College.
Okay, so he'll stay at home.
He'll stay there,
he's not
yeah.
leaving the show. Or
no.
Anything. So, Ben, good for you. You've finally got somebody who actually speaks to you. And that can only be an improvement.
As long as she doesn't attempt to put a velvet throw on your bed.
And now we cross to the Village Green to take our places at the Borchester and District Horse of the Year show.
Welcome to Borchester District Horse of the Year show. We are delighted to be sponsored this year by Rodway and Watson and what's left of Borchester land. Refreshments are available, ladies and gentlemen. The bull is doing sires and exotic sandwiches. Just remember to check what's in them as Wayne's on shift. The Bridge Farm Tea Rooms is offering its standard fare, so if anyone remembers rationing, that should be a trip down memory lane. And the Bridge Farm Shop is doing its usual full range of leek. We have a packed itinerary for you today, and it's all in aid of the church roof because winter's coming on and we still don't have one. So it's show jumping first, then the pet show with classes including angry guinea pig that looks most like Peggy Woolley, and a cow with biggest bowel movement. Tommy Croker and his Acid House Big Band Sound will be giving us all a tune this afternoon, and then we have Pandora Heatherly Weatherly, sponsored by the Ambridge Stables, who will be doing a display of dressage. No mention of the horse. Oh, I see. She's only on lesson two, so it'll just be Pandora Heatherly Weatherly doing the dressage, but she's a lovely little mover, so we'll no doubt get the idea. And now, while the jumps are being set up, we must say a grateful thanks to Mr. Jazza McCreary and Miss Tracy Horobin for keeping us all entertained with their display of motorcycling acrobatics. And of course, many thanks again to the Red Cross volunteers for their intervention coming to the rescue so promptly. Round of applause for Jazza and Tracy, everybody. Not sure they'll be able to hear you over the noise of the air ambulance, but well done them. Ah, now we have our first rider entering the ring. A big hand for little Kara Grundy. Grundy, ladies and gentlemen, on pickles. Lovely round she goes, up to the first. No, that's a refusal. Oh dear. Never mind, our brave little lady's having another. Ah, no, another refusal. Gracious me. That's quite a lot of language from young Kira there. If you've got small children, maybe you could move them away from the ringside, or at least cover their ears. Never mind, Kira, let's try again at the culvert jump. No, Pickles doesn't seem to like that either. Ah, and Kira's taken off her riding hat and is jumping on it with both feet. Always frustrating. Let's see what's happening at the other end of the field. Ah, but now we can cross to my colleague Peter at the world's shortest flat race between the ice cream van and the limo across the green up to the shop. If you have small children, could you keep them close to you as we don't want any fatalities in the queue for the 99s? Are you ready for us, Peter? Yes, we're ready for you here. And they're off! What a lineup for you, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Tractor Work from the Grundy Stable, Lovely Darling, owned by Lillian Bellamy, I'm a Vegan by Mia Grundy, Dumb Blonde by Sabrina Thwaite, Red Trousers by Brian Aldridge, followed by Showtime by Linda Snell, written by Linda herself there. Look at her go, and the leaders are peeling off now. It's Chilly Time coming up on the outside with Right You Are and Hello You Too. Neck and Neck, Chilly Time, written by Susan Carter there. Tabard, flapping in the wind. Chilly Time's getting close to Married Man. Married Man, written by Shula Hebden Lloyd, one-handed, which is no mean feat. And Chilly Time seems to be snapping at Married Man's rump. There was a definite nip there and a kick. No, that wasn't the horses. That was Susan actually kicking Shula Hebden Lloyd. Red Trousers, written by Brian Aldridge, is coming up behind Dumb Blonde. Really got quite a turn of speed there. And oh, goodness me, I'm not sure that's going to be allowed by the steward, as Red Trousers is mounting Dumb Blonde as she runs along. Absolutely astonishing behaviour. She's not keen, but Red Trousers is raring to go. Quite a seasoned performer, old Red Trousers, but clearly got a lot of go still in him. And we're into the final furlong of Chilly Times, overtaking Married Man, and Chilly Times made it across the line. Sigh of relief all round there. Oh, Chilly Times gone over to have another bite out of Married Man, but the stewards are intervening. What a shame.
So that's that. There'll be another podcast up next week. Subscribe to us on iTunes and you'll never miss an episode. And if you give us a review, we will love you more than Justin and Lillian love money.
And certainly more than they love each other. In the meantime, if you would like to contact us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. And please do, because we didn't even get an email from Tom Peach this week.
We didn't.
If you can imagine such a thing. Tom, are you all right? We're worried about you. Please drop us a line just to make sure that you're still alive and still doing okay. Anyway, and give us your comments or any questions for me, Mr. Newbie.
We are @onambridge on Twitter, or you can follow him on Twitter at newbiecouch.
Him? And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all of us and have a lovely week. Bye.
Bye. I thought bye. I'd channel the two Ronnies then.
Oh, is that what that was? Good night. Good night from him. Or which way round was it? It's good night from me and it's good night from him.
Yeah.
Or good night from him, good night from me.
Yes.
No, it was me and him, wasn't
me and
it?
Him, yeah.
So it's goodbye from Lucy. No, wait.
Crying out loud.
I've booted that, haven't I?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.